is my pleasure to present...
Good morning and welcome to the Carmichael Dave Show, starring Carmichael Dave, Jay Mars, and your phone calls on the Fire Wings hotline at 1-800-920-1140. Text in on the Jiffy Loop text line at 44-1140. Now, strap in and sit down.
Shoot up, man.
Here's Carmichael Dave.
Final hour of the program. Welcome in. 339-1140. 916-339-1140 is your text line. 1-800-920-1140. Your phone line. Why are you smiling?
You got 30 seconds for me.
I have as much time as you'd like.
I just saw something on IG. Michelle Dapper posted it. Do you remember back in, now everyone has like a Yeti or some sort of cooling or hot mechanism for your beverage, whatever,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Shout out to science.
Shout out.
Do you remember back in the day what our Yeti was?
It was a plastic lunchbox.
It was a plastic
and, with a thermos.
But do you remember, like, if you had a soda can, wrapping it in tin foil to keep it cold?
No.
You didn't do that? Oh man,
no.
Dude, that was like a hack back in the day. Like,
no.
Because you know you weren't putting your lunch in a refrigerator. How are you gonna keep your can of soda cold?
I never did that.
It was an old hack. Yeah, you'd wrap it in
did
tin
that
foil.
Work?
I don't think so, but we sure thought it did.
Do kids?
Kids have Yetis, bro.
Do they still...
Little you-know-whats.
Are there still... I should know this because I have, you know, kids, and mine actually don't. Do they do plastic lunchboxes anymore?
I don't think so.
Why
I haven't seen
not?
That.
Why not? Man, my Superman lunchbox, Luke Skywalker.
Dude, I don't even think they do the brown paper bags anymore. I think they all have their, like, super fancy lunch insulated.
What the?
That you can put a cooler in.
Is that not an industry that is prime to come
for a
back?
Comeback?
It really should be. Dude, I remember one year my grandparents got me a metal Luke Skywalker lunchbox with a Han Solo thermos. Dude.
Killing the game.
Just, I basically went to school like I owned the place. What's up? Yeah, try to break this on the playground. I remember throwing the lunchbox in the air and letting it drop right on the blacktop. And yeah, it scratched a little bit. But the point was made to the rest of the third graders that this was an indestructible lunchbox. Unlike your little, your cheapo plastic E.T. lunchbox.
Yeah, I had a DuckTales. I was a big DuckTales guy back in the day.
Nothing wrong with that. When I try to, in light of an article I read, can we, I know I'm guilty of this sometimes.
Sometimes.
I want to have a quick conversation from an NBA point of view, not a Kings fan's point of view.
Okay.
An NBA point of view on the 2018 NBA draft.
Oh, okay.
And,
this is fun.
And I know where everyone's going. And
yeah, yeah.
I just, can we just please... focus on this. Can we pretend that this segment is happening in Texas or bad choice in Florida or Connecticut
or
well, damn
why
it.
Are you picking all these crappy states?
Just a random state.
Who the hell
area.
Wants to go to Connecticut?
This is not about the Kings.
Delaware.
Hi, I'm in Delaware. The 2018 draft. I think you got to start looking at it. Is this shape? It's way too early. We're 3 years in. But is this shaping up to being like a top five all-time draft?
It's trending.
DeAndre Ayton last night and really through much of the playoffs and towards the end of the year after he got abused by Anthony Davis a couple games late this season.
Haven't we all?
Yeah. DeAndre Ayton is, DeAndre, Luka Doncic should have been the number one pick in the draft. But DeAndre Ayton is no slouchy McSloucherton.
I would be willing to bet, especially if Phoenix is good again next year, which there's no reason to believe they won't be. DeAndre Ayton will be an all-star this year.
I think that's where it's trending. In a day and age where the big man, especially the center position, is kind of like, whatever. DeAndre Ayton is becoming a monster. And I watched him play last night. And yes, I'm aware that the easy comparison here is that, because doesn't DeAndre Ayton look like he's 33?
Yes, he has the Greg Oden syndrome.
And that's,
Dwayne Dedman syndrome.
So that's what I said last night. And I promise you it's not just because they both looked like they were 33 when they were 22. DeAndre Ayton reminds me a little bit of what Greg Oden could have been had he never been injured.
Well, the thing is, it's not just facially. They have that man body. DeAndre Ayton's body is way more developed than his age.
Exactly. They both are developed beyond their years. They both have that power game, but they both have a little bit of finesse to their game as well. Like, when you look at some of the things Ayton did last night, and I remember watching Oden Ohio State. You know, people look back and they go, I can't believe Greg Oden over Kevin Durant. That's the worst. Yes, it was. It was perhaps probably the second biggest miss of all time behind Bowie Jordan. But people forget Greg Oden was a man at Ohio State.
Not just a man at Ohio State. Do you remember, again, he sat out his entire rookie year.
Right.
Do you remember when Portland played the Kings in the preseason, his technical rookie year, and he started? I just remember watching him abuse the Kings, which, granted, yes, I get it. But he was just a man-child out there, like, throwing grown men around. He had, like, 12 boards in the first quarter.
Yeah.
It was something ridiculous.
It's one of those, you know, and you, I don't know what it is about Portland, man, but whether it's Sam Bowie, Brandon Roy, Greg Oden, it's sad because you wonder what – you already knew with Roy where that was going. I mean, he had enough time to
work. Yeah, Brandon Roy was an all-star.
Well, he was a badass. But I'm sad that we never got to see Oden be who he could have been.
Right.
And DeAndre Ayton is trending well. Obviously, Marvin Bagley the second.
Let's look at the top players there, okay?
So that's what I'm doing. Because you have Bagley second, Luka third, and we've spent plenty of time on Luka, and nothing else needs to be said. The guy is a generational talent who is going to be one of the faces of this league for a very long time. Jaren Jackson Jr.'s fourth. Now, I thought this was a little bit interesting because there were those that wanted Jaren Jackson as the pick. Not a lot.
I didn't want him as the pick. I wanted him over Bagley, though. I really like Jaren Jackson at Michigan State. I thought he showed a lot of two-way potential. I love the fact that he was so comfortable shooting the three already. I thought he just screamed prototypical NBA center at that time.
You know what's funny is when you look, you know, and a lot of us have focused on, I think because Bagley went right before Luka, obviously that's the focus.
Sure.
And Jaren Jackson's team was in the playoffs this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jaren Jackson has played 8 more games than Marvin Bagley.
Yeah, he's another one it's interesting, and we brought this up, maybe 2 weeks ago I did the actual numbers on it, but outside of DeAndre Ayton, Marvin Bagley's taken second, big man, missed a ton of time. Jaren Jackson taken fourth, big man, has missed a ton of time. Mo Bamba hasn't really found any sort of footing in Orlando. He was taken sixth. Wendell Carter Jr., big man, missed a lot of time. What is it with these bigs just can't stay healthy?
The numbers between Marvin Bagley and Jaren Jackson are actually insanely close. And Jackson has started almost double the games. He scores 0.9 points more per game, but Bagley has almost a full 3 rebounds more than him per game.
But
they're a toss-up.
I disagree with that. Here's why. Jaren Jackson can defend. Jaren Jackson can defend. Marvin Bagley is literally a ghost on defense. It's not even close.
I agree with you, and it doesn't matter if I agree with you or not. It's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Marvin Bagley's better than him offensively. And by the way, Jaren Jackson's shown more. I think his 3-point shot has actually shown more promise.
Can we say Marvin Bagley is definitely more talented offensively than Jaren Jackson? Significantly more talented.
I think that's fair. Trae Young goes 5. So far we have Ayton, Doncic, and Trae Young all doing. And Ayton and Young are still alive in their semifinals. We talked about Mo Bamba, then Wendell Carter. Colin Sexton is turning out. Listen, Cleveland's, you know, big bag of you-know-what right now.
Colin Sexton's good.
Because of Colin Sexton. Kevin Knox. Yeah.
Mikal Bridges is
awesome.
Sneaky good.
It's very sneaky good. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander
will be an all-star.
Is the centerpiece of Oklahoma City right now. Miles Bridges.
Slowly developing in Charlotte, but he was good this year.
One of those guys. I would love to have Miles Bridges on
for
my
sure.
team. Michael Porter Jr. goes 14th, and it's sad because a lot of people knew it at the time. The one question I've always wanted to know from the Kings front office, from Vlade and those guys there, I've never gotten an answer to this. Did you make an attempt at grabbing that 14 pick? And if so, what did you offer? I can't ever get an answer on that. I'll bet they did. I'm curious as to what they offered. And Denver steals Michael Porter Jr. at 14.
What's crazy about that at 14 is the Clippers had back-to-back picks at 12 and 13.
Yeah.
They could have had Shai Gilgeous and Michael Porter Jr. They got Jerome Robinson instead.
Well, Gilgeous went 11.
Gilgeous went 11, but remember, he was traded to the...
Traded, that's right. Oh, my God, that's right.
DiVincenzo at 17 is really good.
Absolutely.
Kevin Werder at 19 is another...
by the way, Lonnie Walker's a good young player, too.
Lonnie Walker can play. There. But Herder at 19, that's a great pickup.
Josh Okogie, Grayson Allen. Say what you want about Grayson Allen. He's a decent rotation player for the Jazz. I mean... At number 21, what are you going to do?
I think you mean the Grizz.
What did I say, the Jazz?
Yeah,
I'm sorry, Jazz drafted him. I'm looking at where he was drafted. Anfernee Simons.
Aaron Holiday's a fine rotation player. Landry Shamet at 26 is a good
Gary
pick.
Trent Jr., former King.
Robert Williams III with Boston at 27, yep. Time Lord. That was a great pick.
De'Anthony Melton. I mean, you got...
Devontae Graham and Jalen Brunson, both guys that are rotation players, and they were picked in the second round.
Shake Milton picked in the second round.
Shake Milton has had number nice 54. Moments.
By the way, Chimezie Metu, number 49 by the Spurs. Let's not forget him. Gonna perhaps be with the Kings next year.
2018 is trending that way. Let's not forget how good the draft before it was.
Which one would that be,
2017? 2017. Jason Tatum, De'Aaron Fox. God, if he gets healthy, I think Jonathan Isaac will be good.
Yeah, I really... There's another one that's just been cut down.
Donovan Mitchell, Bam Adebayo, John Collins, Jared Allen, OG Anunoby, Kyle Kuzma, Derek White, Josh Hart. That's all in the first round.
Yeah.
Dylan Brooks at 45.
By the way, I don't think the jury's done on Lonzo Ball yet.
I don't think so either.
As much as people hate to say that or hate to hear that. Do you remember at one point that year where it was thought that Dennis Smith Jr. might have been the steal of the draft?
And oh, yeah.
There were honest to God people. I remember these conversations in this town. There were people openly barking that we should have drafted Dennis Smith Jr. over De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah, which was always a really bad take. But I do understand why people fell in love with Dennis Smith Jr., when he was at NC State, and that's just it, he was the guy. He was the only guy on that team. So it's very easy to watch because most people, let's face it, when they get their draft information, it's usually watching highlights on YouTube, right?
Right.
Dennis Smith Jr. was a human highlight film, sorry, Dominique, while at NC State. I understood why people like, oh my God, look at this guy. I mean, he's an athletic freak,
sure.
He's a score, but, and most draft analysts peg this correctly, the mental part of Dennis Smith Jr.'s game had always been issue, and it continues to still be the issue to this day.
Speaking of Ayton, Bridges, all those folks, we haven't yet talked about last night's game. Nuggets Suns game one, a series a lot of us are thinking is going to be a seven gamer. Nikola Jokic looked amazing early.
Jokic, free throw line extended, guarded by DeAndre Ayton, puts it on the floor. Gets to the mid post, gets to the dotted line, turnaround floater, up and in.
It was men amongst boys early for Nikola.
Capazzo has it on the high right side. Throws it top of the key to Jokic. Head fake and a drive on eight. Hook shot, nothing but net.
Jokic finishes with 22-9, but here's the thing. In 36 minutes, he goes 22-9 with three blocks, two steals. He fills the stat line.
Mm-hmm.
Three assists. I don't think the Nuggets can win if he has less than five assists a game.
No.
And the fact that they're giving him so much attention, as they should, they need to be able to capitalize on his passing ability as he's drawing doubles almost every time he touches the ball. Ayton can't check him one-on-one, and Jokic can't check Ayton one-on-one. It's almost a draw scoring-wise.
Jokic had high praise for Ayton last night, by the way.
Yeah.
High praise for Ayton.
22-9 with three assists. Two steals and three blocks. Here's the problem. Ayton had 20 and 10. Now, no assists, no blocks, and a steal, but I'm not going to say that Jokic and Ayton canceled each other out because Jokic played better than him. But when it's that close, I'm not going to win.
No.
You're not going to win. This was a very, very, very tight game going into the second quarter. Speaking of DeAndre Ayton. Or should I say, second half.
Booker up front quickly now. Bounce the ball on the side. They go inside with it to Crowder. Back to DeAndre Ayton underneath. He'll score it.
Then the Suns come out in the second half, and they actually start out slow. And then they started hitting everything, including this Devin Booker four-point play.
Suns have possession. Booker out on top. Booker, a three-pointer. Suzanne! And one. He's hit and fouled.
I love the playoffs for many reasons. One of them is that you see players that you don't really talk about make a name for themselves in the playoffs. Marcus Smart was one for me back when I knew who he was. I knew mm-hmm. who he was drafted. I knew what he was all about. I knew his name. I knew his face. I knew his game. But Marcus Smart and regular season Marcus Smart, it's almost like playoff Rondo. There are just people that take it to a different level. Tony Allen.
Tony Allen's
another one.
The lockdown.
Dude, when you get Tony Allen under the spotlight, Tony Allen would lock you down. It was awesome to watch.
Bruce Bowen.
Bruce Bowen was another guy like that.
James Posey, lightweight, was like that.
Just seeing these players come up in the postseason, especially the youngsters. Cameron Payne, who went through a lot in his first few years. He's one of those guys that's starting to shine in the postseason.
Here's a drive inside, and the pass is picked off. Making the steal, Cameron Payne. Give the ball to Bridges. Take it to the rim and in. And the Suns' defense came through, and Denver says timeout.
They did it with defense. Chris Paul, that shoulder is improving, and I don't know where the dagger was. There were many daggers, but this is one of them.
Chris Paul, 8 seconds to get a shot. Paul has the big man on him, Millsap, but he puts up a three. Shazam!
And that was your final 1-of-22. 105. Michael Malone thought they settled.
We settled a lot tonight instead of having that attack mentality. People say you only got to the foul line 6 times. They always want to blame the refs. Could the refs be better? Sure. But we can also be a lot better. I think when you settle, it's hard for a referee to call a foul.
So there's Michael Malone taking accountability with a little jab probably. At the rest. On the other side, Monty Williams, I love this. You said the physicality of the Lakers series helped them.
The physicality of that series helped
that.
Us, to play against a team that big in the playoffs is going to be a lesson for sure. And then we're playing against a team that is just as physical. I mean, Aaron Gordon, Jermichael Green, Millsap, those guys are big, strong, physical players, and they're athletic. And Jokic is a physical guy. So, we're playing big, strong teams. So if we can get stops and get out and run, I think our speed can nullify that a little bit. But for sure, every series, every game, you're going to learn. And every game has a life of its own. We talk about that all the time. We're 1-0 against a really good team. We got to learn from this and be ready for their best effort in the next game.
Monty Williams worked with Tom Thibodeau for multiple years for USA Basketball as assistant coaches. And Monty watched Tom Thibodeau win the NBA's Coach of the Year yesterday. Coach Tibbs, wonderful job with the Knicks. Remember, this is a regular season award, so postseason does not matter. The Knicks, of course, are at home now while the Suns are in the semifinals. Monty won the National Basketball Coaches Association version of the award last month. And, Jay, I thought this was interesting when you look at the vote breakdown. It was 351 to 340, Thibodeau over Monty Williams. Quinn Snyder finished third, Doc Rivers fourth, mm-hmm. Nate McMillan with a few votes in fifth, and then Steve Nash and Mike Malone picking up right behind.
No votes for Taylor Jenkins.
No votes.
Interesting.
For Taylor.
Not that he should have won the award. I thought he would have pulled a vote or two, though.
Monty Williams actually had more first-place votes than Thibodeau. He had 45 first-place votes to Thibodeau's 43, but it was the mm-hmm. second-place votes that got Tibbs the award. In situations like this, it's one of those things, it's not that broke, so don't fix it. But just a little, listen, it's not a wound, it's a scab that they could clean up. I think when you're talking about, and you could come up with a formula for this, MVPs, Coach of the Year, et cetera, et cetera. If it's 351, they should come up with a formula where if it's that close, you just go co-coaches of the year.
Mm-hmm.
there's no way Monty Williams should not have won Coach of the Year, in my opinion.
Who did you pick? I know we did our KHDK
picks. I picked Monty Williams.
Okay, I picked Tibbs. With Monty being my, would have got my second place vote.
I shouldn't say there's no way. I really, really thought.
Here's why. I'll tell you this, you know, as an NBA voter.
Yeah, please.
On KHDK.com.
Yes.
I always value a coach that gets the most out of what he has.
Sure.
And I felt like Tibbs got the most out of what he had. I don't think anybody else got more out of their team than Tibbs did this year.
You think Monty got the most out of his team?
I think it's not perfect. I get it. I am admitting flaw in my system here. I hold the Chris Paul trade as to the biggest reason why the Suns improved.
By the way,
whereas I hold Tibbs as the biggest reason why the Knicks improved.
Oh, I hear you. There's Devin Booker on Monty Williams.
Monty's came in here and shifted the culture, you know, tremendously. And, you know, I've seen the bottom, you know, and once he got here, you know, that energy changed. The gym changed. Personnel changed. And he, you know, he developed a culture that, you know, we all bought into and love. And it's I always say it every day, you know, the culture is something, you know, that makes coming to work every day fun. And that started with Coach Monty. So, you know, he's definitely deserving of it. You know, I think when the coaches voted themselves that they put him as Coach of the Year. So kind of similar to when, you know, the players voted me into the All-Star and then some other people come in and make the decision. But, you know, Coach Monty's our Coach of the Year for sure.
I'll say one thing I was really wrong on at the beginning of the year. Devin Booker has always, to me, been, talent aside, and he's amazing, but he's always one of those really annoying players to
very
me.
Annoying.
And he's very annoying to people on the floor. He's just...
Except DeMarcus Cousins. DeMarcus loved and embraced him.
He's almost like a Chris Paul Jr. And I thought when Chris Paul joined the Suns, it would unleash Devin Booker's inner, you know what,
pest hole. Fest.
Right. You know, Booker's actually been really well behaved this year. Not perfect.
He's growing up.
But growing up a bit.
He's also with a Kardashian Jenner now, so he has to watch that image.
Oh, gosh. Is Devin Booker breaking the streak?
Which streak?
Is he not the streak?
The Kardashian streak?
The Kardashian curse.
Curse. AKA he's going to win? What? Hey, if Phoenix loses, we're blaming that, right?
The Kardashians?
Yes.
Or do you credit them for them getting to the second? That since he's been Kardashianing that whole franchise, maybe they've changed the culture.
Or maybe since he's been Chris Pauling.
I guess, but being in those, you know, you saw him at Kim's birthday during coronavirus and all that stuff, and everybody got all fired up. Everybody was fired up about that. And I found myself wondering, if you're this fired up about that, how fired up are you at a great propane deal? With my friends at Cinch, C-Y-N-C-H, cinch.com. Right now, use promo code DAVE, D-A-V-E. I don't know why I need to spell it for you. And your first exchange, just $10. $10! Come on. What is Cinch? It's a propane exchange. They drop new propane tanks off on your doorstep, or your back porch if you ask them. And they take your empty tanks. It's that simple. It's that easy. It's cheaper than the gas station. As I said, use my promo code. It's $10. What more do you need? Not amateur pain, it's propane. Go to cinch.com, C-Y-N-C-H. Promo code Dave. Cinch.com. Promo code Dave. We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice.
Coming up next.
All right, final segment of the program, or should I say final half hour of the program, if you will. We'll get the news from Ed Crane, Once in a Blue Moon with Jay Mars. We still have What's on Tap and a crossover. A lot to get to. Don't go away.
When management finally gets tired and just gives up, the Carmichael Dave Show returns now.
I want to remind you, tomorrow, Dr. Richard Pan, he will, in a second to final regular appearance with us. The following week, he will be with us Wednesday. I will be with you Thursday, and then I'm gone Friday, making way for Jay and a host to be named later.
That host will be Matt George.
Oh, okay, good. Good, good.
Dr. Pan doing a farewell tour a la Mike Krzyzewski.
Very much so, yes. We'll have a rocking chair and all kinds of fun stuff. And fun.
We're going to get him a gold-plated stethoscope. It's on order. Saw one on Amazon.
You're in charge.
Got his name engraved in it and everything.
You're in charge of that, right?
I am, yes. As the co-chairman of the party planning committee here at KHDK, I will handle all of that.
Also, tomorrow, Dave Cavill, president of the Oakland Athletics. He'll be on with us at 7:30. And looking forward to this. We had Ann Killian on Friday, and we will continue to have proponents. And I don't want to say Ann was an opponent, but her article was certainly appository. Totally not a word. Of the stadium, and I want to use some of what she, the questions she asked and the things she said, and have Dave answer those. You know, why there, why at Howard Terminal, what's going to happen to the what's going to happen to all the symphony of trucks and boats that are going through there. It is a, I should call it a symphony of commerce, if you will. A lot of this involves this $12 billion plan, involves real estate and people eventually living there. Well, when you're next to Schnitzer Steel, and I'm not making that up, it's a real name, sounds like it's out of The Simpsons, and recycling plants and all the noise and everything, you know, just the, it's one of those things where my biggest questions about the plan there that I need answered. These are not statements from me, so these may all be answered. But on the surface, and this is what I'll ask Dave, man, it sounds like one of those things that's really good on paper.
Right.
But in actuality, traffic in the neighborhoods, trucks being backed up, the years of construction it's going to take, the port business possibly going to Portland or San Diego or elsewhere, like in actuality, sounds like it could be very problematic.
Well, not just that. And what comes with that is you're going to be dealing with difficult groups to negotiate with. You know, you got to go heads up with the Sierra Club, one of those powerful unions in the country. Not exactly an easy task. Not like here in Sacramento where we had like four old people in a really bad lawsuit.
Are you saying...
I'm saying the Sierra Club holds a little more, pardon the pun, water. In this scenario.
I gotcha. Well, hopefully.
I could be proved wrong, though.
I want to say in advance what I'm not going to do. And I want to say it so people don't think I forgot. I'm not going to ask Dave Cavill about coming to Sacramento. I'm not going to ask him about coming to Sacramento because I'm not going to get an answer and it's pointless.
Well, I wouldn't ask him that. I would word it differently. I would simply ask, has the city of Sacramento reached out to you? I think that's a fair question.
You know, let's talk about this real quick because it just it did actually occur to me. If they're openly talking, I'll tell you this. I'm going to go into the Vegas tweet,
right?
Why they were down in Vegas. And the thing I would worry about asking about Sacramento would be him saying, you know, I've asked him in the past, we're focused on Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, if they're going to Vegas, that door is now opened.
Well, yeah. MLB and they've all said, hey, we can look.
So, you know what? I take it back. I am going to ask him about Sacramento.
Yeah, I think at this point, I think that opens fair. The door for a fair question.
If it's Portland, if it's Las Vegas, I'm going to say, has Sacramento contacted you? And when he says probably no, say, would you be open to the would you be open to being contacted by Sacramento? And let me just ask you, since you've opened the door, do you see that as a possible viable place? And here's the reasons why. And let him lay into the sponsorships or whatever the issues are, or let him say, we of course we'd take the call. And we will ask him about that, Jay. What was I thinking? We won't ask. Why would you say don't ask Dave Cavill about Sacramento?
Sorry.
That was dumb.
Trying to protect the brand.
Of course I'm going to ask him.
Isn't that the default answer?
By the way, doesn't Sacramento make sense also? Because their flagship is already in Sacramento, right here at KCK.
Sacramento makes a lot of sense when you look at it from purely a fan standpoint.
Yes.
Take out all the, you know, the important stuff like finances and stadiums and
shouldn't
all that.
Shouldn't the fans come first?
They should, but you got to have somewhere to play. From a fan standpoint, it would make 100% the most
sense. Here's what I'm going to ask him. Why don't they come to Sacramento, build a stadium, and then as a show of goodwill, and privately fund it completely, and then as a show of goodwill, right next to it, build a soccer stadium and join the Republic ownership group. They would be heroes.
They would
we'd
be.
We'd have the Kings, we'd have the A's, we'd have the Republic.
It would soften the blow for A's fans, I think.
And really, it would pave the way for football. That's next.
Look at you.
Got to have a hey, just before I leave this this chunk of rock hurtling through space, I'd like to see all the major sports here. Soccer, football, basketball, and baseball.
Do you plan to live to be 400?
You know, people said that once upon a time. They said, you know, are they going to keep the team? You know, people doubted that one. Why can't we get three other major league teams?
I don't know. We've only been courting the A's since like 1989.
So?
I think I could actually probably go on YouTube and find like old KCRA broadcast. Remember when they would take like buses of people down to Sacramento and Oakland A's games to promote the A's coming to Sacramento? That was a thing.
Maybe
like,
that means,
over 30 years
maybe
ago.
Maybe that means we're due. Once in a blue moon, it starts right now.
Once in a blue moon, brought to you by Blue Moon Beer. Here's Jay Mars.
The Suns and the Nuggets last night met for the first time in the postseason since?
Since?
Give me a guess. Give me a year.
Suns and the Nuggets met in the postseason for the first time since 1990.
Nope.
86.
Fire.
Nine.
Good.
89?
Since the first time since 1989.
Nailed it first try.
Old man Chris Paul, you ask, was 3 years old the last time these teams played in the playoffs.
Old man Chris
Paul. Millsap, Etuan Moore, and JaVale McGee are the only other players on either roster who are alive at the time those teams last played in the playoffs.
That was a while back.
Chris, I feel like 89 wasn't, though, but then when you really do look at it, like, that was a long time ago.
We've talked about Mount Paul Moore before, where we've put Chris, Rand.
You put Chris and Jake, Rand on the same
Jake, Logan.
Uh-huh. Ron.
Ron.
Bunyan.
Has to be a last name.
Has to be a last name.
Is that it?
Saint.
Oh, the city. The Twin City.
Saint Paul.
I live there. Thank you.
Morgan Paul. That's not a real person.
Okay. Rich.
Rich Paul Super would definitely be on Paul. There.
Is Chris Paul more or less annoying than the Paul brothers?
Less.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
There's two of them.
No, okay, okay.
Okay, hold on. Cliff Paul?
And Clisp?
No, Cliff Paul. From the State Farm commercials?
Yes.
Or the Paul twins brothers. Things.
I mean, Cliff Paul doesn't really annoy me.
Really? I'm not a fan of Cliff. It's the mustache. Bothers me.
I guess I don't know enough about the Paul brothers to know whether or not I'm annoyed by them as much.
Really? Just look at their
I've
faces.
I've been more annoyed in my life by Chris Paul. And by the way, you know, man, I'm a Chris Paul stan, too.
Yes, I'm well aware.
You know I got in a lot of trouble with
greatest people. Greatest player of all time, Chris
top
Paul.
Top 5 point guard of all time, I've said. I'm just saying. Also, he joined Steve Nash and John Stockton as the only players 36 years or older with 20 points and 10 assists in a playoff game over the last 30 years.
Want to have a little more fun with some hindsight?
Yeah.
So prior to last night's game two, when Harden was announced out, ESPN's Basketball Power Index gave the Nets what percent chance to win the game?
They gave the Nets what percentage chance to win last night's game?
Yeah, this was before the game happened. Harden's announced out. So ESPN's Basketball Power Index adjusts and gives the Nets what percent chance to win last night's game prior to tip-off?
60%. 65. 70.
You're going the wrong way.
55.
You're 50?
52. Dude, remember yesterday, what was the line? 2.5?
It was something ridiculous.
And we talked about how ridiculous it was.
And I remember saying, like, yeah, I think the Nets are going to pull this one out. I'm confident they are. I didn't think they'd win by 39. Did not have that on my playoff bingo card last night.
Lou Alcindor, also known as Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, scored 30 points or more in his first 4 home playoff games. Nobody else in basketball history has ever done that. And last night, Devin Booker was 9 points shy of matching that. Had Booker scored 30 or more, it would have been him and Kareem.
Yep.
That's it.
We've been calling him Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
No, nobody would have called him that.
I might have said it.
Nobody would have called him Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
So I'm nobody. I don't count as
literally,
a human.
Literally, no one would have said that. We'll take a break.
Yeah!
That was nice.
Coming up next.
The mayor of Kansas City wants the Kings back. L to the OL, but we'll talk about it. What's on tap at a crossover right after this?
Yeah, let's go, come on.
Uh-huh. It's What's on Tap. Here's what you need to know, what you need to watch, what you need to follow today. It's What's on Tap. Brought to you by
Dave Cavill.
Really? That's what we're...
He bought ad time.
Did he? Well, thanks, Dave.
I just want to promote tomorrow's interview again.
Dave Cavill will join us tomorrow at 7:30, president of the Oakland Athletics. Despite what Jay says, I will ask him about the A's Sacramento.
Tried to talk you out of it. I can't.
Didn't work.
Yeah, not a magician.
Speaking of those Oakland A's, baseball back in action today all the way around. Off days for all but six teams yesterday. The Giants open up on the road, and they take on the Texas Rangers in Arlington. Alex Wood, Jordan Lyles. Tomorrow, Carmichael, California native. Sam Long, just freshly called up.
Third most famous person out of Carmichael.
First. He's a major league pitcher. He will be going for them. Tonight, Chris Bassett on the mound for the A's. They host the Diamondbacks.
New friend of the station, Chris Bassett.
Yeah, he was on last week. Yeah. It was a good interview. 6:30 is your pregame. 6:40 right here on the Sporty 1140. Quentin Lucas is the mayor of Kansas City. And, well, he tweeted. That's always a neat thing.
Tweeting?
It always ends up well, doesn't it? There was a stat put out on Twitter that said, you know, it was basically the Kings got eliminated from the playoffs, 15 years, ties the NBA record, blah, 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 blah.
Not sure that's been confirmed yet, by the way.
Mayor Lucas quote tweeted it and said, bad vibes out there. Time to come back to Kansas City.
Where you were super successful.
In October, Lucas was joined by several U.S. senators, all from the Kansas or Missouri area. Writing a letter to Adam Silver in hopes of the city being selected to host the Raptors. In the letter, it said Kansas City sports fans are unmatched, already providing an avid fan base for the Chiefs, the Royals. Sporting KC would be eager to extend that support to the Raptors. then this Fox 4 Kansas City article went on to talk about how the history of the Kings, how they moved from Rochester to this and that in Kansas City, Omaha, now Kansas, blah, 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 blah. I love the end of this. The NBA's flirted with the idea of adding some expansion teams. Kansas City is hopeful that the possibility of professional basketball returning to the area still exists after 15 straight seasons of underperformance. Kansas City may believe they are favorites to land the Kings if a move was in the works.
Oh, if.
Now, I understand clickbait. I understand playing to the audience. I understand that. I really, really, really do. Just do a tiny, eensy, eensy, teensy bit of research. You'll see the Kings aren't going anywhere for at least 27 years. It wasn't a 35-year lease.
Think so. They still got at least 30 here.
Yeah, like, you know, just you got to chill. You absolutely got to chill. By the way, comparing Kansas City's avid fan base to Sacramento's avid fan base is laughable. The Kansas City Kings, just in case anyone's wondering, were as much booted out of Kansas City as they were leaving Kansas City. It has been said with a lot of proof behind it that in Kansas City at the time when the Kings left, there were in one or more orders the Royals, the George Brett Saberhagen Royals.
They won, I believe, the World Series the same year the Kings left.
The Kansas City Chiefs. And Tom Watson, the golfer.
I want to say, and I'm not being funny here, there was another, I don't know if it was arena football or like indoor soccer. There was another like sport that is not on the NBA quality level. Obviously, that was drawing better than the Kings were in Kansas City.
What, I don't like saying things like nobody cared about the Kings.
Yeah, but nobody cared about the Kings.
It was just laughable. Absolutely laughable to think that. Oh, well, you know. In their final season in Kansas City at Kemper Arena, the Kansas City Kings had a 31-51 record with an average attendance of 6,410 people. Just saying. Just saying. The year before, they were 17th out of 23 NBA teams in attendance. So let's not go revisionist history like, you know, Kansas City is hurting because they lost the Kings way back when.
All those documentaries on the Kings, yeah, or Sacramento still in Kansas,
right,
City from
remember
the
Kings. Remember the 30 for 30 down in the Midwest?
Yes.
Yeah, it was amazing.
You want to cross over? Not Hawks, to the other side.
Hawks Sixers at 7, at 4:30. Clippers Jazz open up their series tonight at 7 o'clock. Let's do a crossover.
What's happening with Jason Ross and Doug Christie?
Hit that horn, babe. Let's dance.
Let's find out right now with the crossover. Here's today's crossover.
All right, guys. Today on the crossover, we're thinking about college coaching legends. So many of them. One, we found out last week, DC, that Coach K is going to be calling it quits, and Coach Saban's not. He got a new extension, but yeah, still a legend.
He got that big, big, big dollar, yes, no doubt. So if you guys were going to be falling in behind a legend, would you rather fall in behind Coach K or Coach Saban? Your choice.
Got to pick one.
One of them.
I felt like this was a really easy answer.
Okay, so logic would dictate you'd rather fall behind Duke. They missed the postseason last year. The program has been kind of on the downslide for Duke standards. So of both, in which Alabama is a perennial national championship contender, Duke is the obvious logical answer. However, let me give a caveat. Duke is very much an academic institution. Very much. Much more than the University of Alabama. Duke has also never been hit with any sort of major, I think even minor, recruiting infractions. Now, maybe I'm just a sad Florida State fan, but I'm like 100,000% convinced that they cheat quite a bit at Alabama. So I feel like it might be easier to go to Alabama because you have the donors and the alumni in place.
Are you saying Nick Saban's not a great coach? They're just a great cheating program?
I think Nick Saban's a great coach who also understands the system.
Like, you think if Lane Kiffin were coaching the Crimson Tide, they'd still be national champions every year?
I just think that Alabama, you know, I don't know that academics are more important than national titles there. Maybe I'm wrong.
Oh, but at Duke, academics come first.
Duke is a very respected academic traditional school, yes.
Wow, now you're calling Alabama people dumb.
I didn't say that. I'm just saying, let's put sports aside. You have a choice of putting Duke on your resume or Alabama on your resume. 100
Sac State.
100 out of every 100 are putting Duke.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I assume you're going to say Duke.
Yeah, I'm going to say Duke. Rather coach the ACC basketball versus go have to coach in the SEC in football. Although you do bring up some good points about having some, built-in things that could help me.
Oh, so you're good with going up shots at Florida State's Leonard Hamilton. You'd rather go
big shots at Lenny Hams. Wow.
Crossover question for Jason and Doug and anyone else, as always, that wants to get involved. I'm sure you've seen the story by now. If you haven't, it was a big birthday with a happy ending for Robert Kraft. He got a Bentley for his birthday from Jay-Z, from Meek Mill, the guy who owns the Sixers. And
Co-Governor Michael Rubin.
And then wasn't it somebody else?
Nah.
Okay. Anyways, he got a Bentley that Bob Kraft had been trying to get and he couldn't get his hands on, and now they came through in the clutch. Here's my question for you guys, and just off the top of your head, I'm assuming nobody in the room has been gifted a Bentley. I'm not asking for expensive, although maybe it's expensive, but top of your head, what is the best, coolest, whatever you want to put on it, what's the best gift you've ever received in your entire life? And don't, by the way, and don't bail out and be like, the birth of my children. No, I mean like an actual gift that you unwrap type of thing. Have a great rest of your show, everybody. What we got here, 20 seconds? All right. So later on today, 6:30, we'll start it. The A's open up their series in Arizona. And we'll have all the coverage for you tomorrow, including Dr. Richard Pan and A's president, Dave Cavill. So a fun day tomorrow. For Jay Mars and for all the rest of you, I'm Carmichael Dave. Jim Rome is next. Enjoy the rest of your day. Go Kings. Bye-bye now.